भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नेत्रे निमीलयसिनक्तु मदृष्टबन्धुस् त्रोम्रारपि शिखरुणं बत चक्रवाकी दास्यं कथा वयम् इवाच्युत पादजुष्टम् किं वा स्रजं स्रहयसे करवे कवरेण बोधम् नेत्रे निमीलयसि नक्तुमदृष्टबन्धुस् त्वं रोरपि शिखरुणं बत चक्रवाकी दास्यं गता वयम् इवाच्युत पादजुष्टम् किं वा स्रजं स्पृहयसे करवेत्कवरेण वूधुम् नेत्रे निमीलयसि नक्तुमदृष्टबन्धुस् त्वं रोरपि शिखरुणं बत चक्रवाकी दास्यं गता वयमिवाच्युत पादजुष्टम् किं वा स्रजं स्पृहयसे कपरेण वोधुम् netre. Your eyes nimilayasi. You keep closed naktam during the night. Adrishta, not seen. Bandhu, who's beloved. Twam, you. Rodabishi, are crying. Karunam, pitifully. Bata, alas. Chakravaki, O Chakravaki, female crane. Dasyam, servitude. Gata, attained. Vayam Eva, like us. Achyuta, O Krishna. Pada, by the feet. Jushtam, honored. Kim, perhaps. Va, or Srajam, the flower garland. Sprihayase, you desire. Kavarena, in the braid of your hair. Vodhum, to carry. Poor Chakravaki, even after closing your eyes, you continue to cry pitifully through the night for your unseen mate. Or is it that, like us, you have become the servant of Achyuta and hanker to wear in your braided hair the garland he has blessed with the touch of his feet? Bobo sadanisthanase udanvam alabdha nidro digata prajagaraha kimva mukunda parithatma lanchana praptam dasam tvam chagato duratyayam. Dear ocean, you are always roaring, not sleeping at night. Are you suffering insomnia? Or is it that, as with us, Mukunda has taken your insignias and you are hopeless of retrieving them? Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami states that Lord Krishna's queens here confuse the sea surrounding Dwarka with the celestial ocean of milk, from which Lakshmi and the Kostuba gem arose long ago. These were taken, apahrita, by Lord Vishnu, and they now reside on his chest. The queens presume that the ocean is anxious to see once again the mark of Lakshmi's residence and the Kostuba jewel on the Lord's chest. And they express their sympathy by saying that they also want to see these marks. Om Agyanti Midandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Vilidam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pascatyadeshatharine Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya
Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 90, entitled The Summary of Lord Krishna's Glories, Text 15 and 16. 16. 16 and 17. For those of you who do not attend this class every morning, throughout the year, we study one verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are 18,000 verses in this scripture. And we begin from the very beginning and continue. And over the years, we've gone through the entire Srimad Bhagavatam many, many times. I did not select these verses today, obviously. They are the verses that are meant for today. I'm so grateful you're all here. The story and meaning and purpose of this Pushyabhishek festival we will discuss this evening at 6 o'clock. So if you want to know what's happening, please come at 6 o'clock. It's a very meaningful experience. What is most common to everyone and what all people can do can be most difficult to understand, the depth of what it represents. One of the primary subjects of the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, is samadarshana, the capacity to see all living beings with equal vision. That is not an easy thing in this world where there's so much diversity. Success, failure, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain. How do we see those with equal vision? Youth, old age. And what to speak of people? People who are cruel, people who are truly compassionate, people of different nationalities, different castes, races, sexes, religions, or even species. How to see the Queen of England and a frog with equal vision. Obviously, there's diversity. But Bhagavad Gita is giving this understanding that true enlightenment means we see all beings with equal vision. A handicapped child and an Olympic gold medalist. On the bodily concept, or even on the mental concept, they're not equal. And if we are on the bodily concept, and mental conception, we cannot see equality. But on the spiritual platform, yajgetvanapunarmoham evam yashashi pandavahi, yena bhutan yashashani draksas yatman yatomai. People like to speak about truth, relative truth, absolute truth. But for one who actually knows the truth, they know that all living beings are a part of the same God. We are of the same spiritual substance. That our spiritual nature may be in a dormant state, but as it awakens within ourselves, we can perceive it, we could appreciate it, we could respect it, we could unconditionally love that nature that's dormant in everyone. And then we know the greatest compassion, the greatest service, the most fulfilling purpose of life is to help people awaken that dormant propensity. And there's no, Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, there is no one more dear to him than one who shares this message with others. Today, I see among you multimillionaires, and I see among you upper class, middle class, upper middle class, and people who are simple farmers struggling to get some peanuts to grow out of the ground just for survival. I see people who have PhDs in engineering, in philosophy, and people who don't even know how to write or read, and everything in between. I see Brahmins, I see people who have no caste whatsoever, males and females. I see old people and little children. I see rich people and poor people, so many types of people. But who's qualified to pluck these flowers? That's the really important question. Everyone. Everyone could do it. I see people here who are some of the topmost accomplished yogis in the whole world, who could perform practically any asana. They could put their feet or their head or their knees on any other part of the body practically. I also see here elderly ladies who can't even sit on the floor, can't even touch their feet, and never will for the rest of their lives. So where is the equality? Because each and every one of you is plucking the same flowers. And this is bhakti. Patram pushpam palam toyam yomi bhakta prayajjati. We're all united. We're sitting together from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south, from everywhere. Sharing the same circles, plucking the same flowers. In this sense, we found a place where we could really appreciate what we all have in common. That we're plucking these flowers to offer to God, and we're really appreciating each other in doing so. This evening, when the flowers shower upon Radha Gopinath, there's going to be millions of flower petals. So about 3,000 pounds of flowers are here today. They're all organic flowers, grown naturally. Many from our eco-village, many from Vrindavan, other holy places of India. Devotees go through great efforts to collect these flowers. And when the showers of these flowers are falling on the Lord, you're probably not going to be able to think and identify, I plucked that petal. You'll just see so many petals. And there'll be no false ego that I plucked more petals than you. I plucked better petals than you. You'll just see everyone's petals. And the combination of all of them, if we just put one petal, it's not much of a festival. But if we have 1,000 pounds of petals, it's a festival. And that festival is not the number of petals, but rather it's that we together have all, with a united purpose, we've collected them together. We've plucked them together, and we shower the Lord with them together. Hare Krishna. Speaking about seeing everyone with equal vision, some people are on time and some people are late. But everyone is a part of God, so we offer all respects. And when that beautiful shower of flower comes upon them, and then the prasad comes upon us, we understand the bhakti principle of oneness. The oneness is not that we lose our identity. The oneness is we understand the essence of our true spiritual eternal identity. That we're all part of the same source. We're all Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And that Ananda in its highest, most developed and realized state is Prem, Prem Ananda. It's the awakening of our spiritual love. Our love for each other, our love for God, a love for all beings. That is what this flower festival represents, but I'm not going to tell you what it really means until tonight. Today's verses we'll try to explain according to the same principle. What's happening here in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in Dwarka, Krishna's beloved queens are with Krishna, but they're feeling deep separation from Krishna while they are with him. And in that separation, in their love, they're seeing Krishna everywhere, in everything, and in everyone. That's the nature of love. Parimanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. Brahma Samhita tells that when one's eyes are anointed with love, the mascara of love, then you see Krishna everywhere. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me. For that person, I am never lost, nor could they ever be lost from me. How is that possible, to see Krishna everywhere? The absolute truth, the supreme beautiful, the source of Brahman, the all-pervading, impersonal light that's within and outside of everything. And within that Brahma Jyoti, or that limitless spiritual light, is the universes, the cosmic manifestation with limitless universes. And in each universe there are limitless planets and stars, and within each planets there are limitless living beings and so many varieties. How to see God everywhere? Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. Through our love. Because in principle, tattva, everything is emanating from the absolute truth. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. Therefore, everything is the energy of the absolute truth. So nothing is ever separated from him. But devotees, they understand these philosophical principles. And philosophical principles, when we know them, we intellectually apply them to the various circumstances that come in our life. But there's something far more deep than that. Yes, that is, we see through our love. Because our love for the Supreme is so deep and so profound and so satisfying and so consuming that wherever we look, whatever we hear, it's reminding us of Krishna. These queens, wherever they look, they're thinking that everyone must be thinking just like them. This is a reality in the world also, that the whole world is a mirror of your state of consciousness. A person who's really greedy for money, it's hard for that person to trust anybody because they superimpose their own consciousness on everyone and they think everybody must be greedy for money. A person who's craving for power is going to superimpose that on everyone. Little Prahlad, he was a 5-year-old boy. He told his father, he told his teachers, that the whole world is seeing people according to being a friend or enemy, depending on how they can either exploit them or compete with them or enjoy them. But I don't see anyone in this duality as friend and enemy. I see everyone as Krishna's child, someone to respect and someone to serve. That was his vision. So here the gopis, and not the gopis, the queens, they are speaking in the first, in verse 15, they're speaking to the Kurari bird. And this bird is up all night, every night. That's the quality of a Kurari bird. They sleep in the day. And they're saying to the Kurari bird, is it that you can't sleep because you're so much being struck by the arrows of separation from Krishna? How could you sleep? That's the way we are too. the Chakravarti birds. We see that you're up all night and your eyes are closed, but you're making this sweet song. It's hard to do the kura. They kind of hum like they're meditating. Is it that you're just meditating in separation, waiting for the night to end when Krishna will come? They're speaking to the ocean. The ocean is so big, and it's roaring. Are you? You're just doing this all night. Do you have insomnia? Or is it that, like us, Mukunda has stolen your heart, stolen your very identity, and you can't sleep without it? They're speaking to the moon. We see that sometimes you're a full moon, and then at other times you get smaller and smaller and smaller. Why do you get so thin? Do you have tuberculosis? Or is it that you're like us, dumbstruck, because you're fully immersed in remembering Krishna's beautiful glances and Krishna's beautiful form? They look up at the cloud and said, "Oh, cloud, you must be filled. You must be so much filled with Krishna, because you're dark like a monsoon, and your complexion is the same as Krishna. Is that how absorbed you are in Krishna? And like us, you cry day and night. Are you just ready to cry tears and make a monsoon downpour upon everyone?" So this is the way they're seeing everything in relation to their own love for Krishna. This is quite esoteric, quite mystical, but we experience it in a reflected form, even in this world. So much music, poetry, cinema, literature, based around loving relationships. And when love goes deep, you can't forget your beloved. It's very difficult, especially in separation, to just be happy doing something else. You see the whole world in relation to your love. And the complete origin of that, in its ultimate, most full state, is our love for God. It's not just a concept. It's an overwhelming, eternal, unlimited experience that cannot be separated from anything we do, anywhere we are, or anyone we're with. That love is within the hearts of all beings. And when we awaken it within our own heart, we can perceive it everywhere. In Vrindavan, Krishna was living with Sri Radha, the gopis, the gopas, Nanda, Yashoda, for just about 10.5 years. And then he left. He went to Mathura. He later went to Dwarka. in Vrindavan, these same spiritual realizations of ecstatic love were in their highest, most complete state. There's Sambhog and Vipralamba. There's love in union, physical union, and love in physical separation. They are both states of deep union within the heart, between the soul and Krishna. In Vrindavan, there's a place called Prem Sarovar. There, Sri Radha, the supreme Ashraya Vigraha, or abode of love, was sitting together on a little seat with Sri Krishna, the Vishaya Vigraha, the supreme object of love. And it is the love between Radha and Krishna, the one supreme truth in male and female aspect, that is the source of all love. And it's eternally personal, completely personal. The concept of impersonal, for those who have tasted the personal sweetness of Bhagavad Dharma, of the love of the soul for the Supreme Soul, it has no appeal whatsoever. So Radharani and Krishna are sitting, and they're speaking to each other, glancing upon each other. And just at that time, a bumblebee came. And saw Sri Radha's lotus feet and considered them the most fragrant lotus flowers. So the bumblebee became very enthusiastic. It was circling Sri Radha's lotus feet, and Radharani, she said to Krishna, please take this bumblebee away. He was trying to drink the nectar from her lotus feet. Krishna called his friend Madhu Mangal and said, please chase this bumblebee away. Now, for those of you who live in India, you know that one name of a bumblebee is Madhusudan. And Madhusudan's also a name of Krishna. Madhu means sweet. It also means honey. So Madhu Mangal, he came and he swished the bumblebee away. And they went into the forest together. And then Madhu Mangal was so happy that he had achieved his purpose, he came running back very blissfully, and he said, Krishna, Madhusudan is gone and he'll never come back. Sri Radha's looking at Krishna right in the face. Krishna's looking at Radha in the face. But when she hears this, that Madhusudan, which is the name of Krishna, is gone and he'll never come back, she starts to cry that my Madhusudan, my Gopal, my Govinda, he's gone and he'll never come back. And while she's seeing him, she's feeling this separation from him. And she's crying and crying and crying. Torrents of tears like rivers are pouring from her eyes, from the very core of her heart. And when Krishna sees this is the nature of her love, just the thought that I might be away from her is doing this, then he was so affected, he lost composure and started crying, 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 oceans of tears. And they were both practically leaning on each other, weeping, feeling each other's love and separation. Their hearts melted together. And the tears that came from their heart filled up that lake. It's called Prem Sarovar, the lake of love. And anyone who bathes there connects to that love. Rupa Goswami explains among the anubhavs, or special symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, is Prem Vaichitya, which is very special. It means when our love becomes so awakened and so intense that even when we're with our beloved, we feel imminent separation. Even when we're together, we feel the imminent separation of when we're not together. At that time when Krishna experienced the love of Sri Radha in this way, and Sri Radha experienced the love of Krishna in this way, Krishna decided it's time for me to soon leave Vrindavan. Because it just doesn't get any better than this. Sambhog means the expression of divine love when the object of our love is with us physically. What happens then? The anand, the prem, the love of our heart that's deep within us, the very core of our own souls, it pours out toward the object of our love who's with us. And viraha, love and separation, is when our love, our beloved is not externally with us. The love is never lost. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper within. And because Krishna is absolute, God is all-pervading and everywhere, we're actually never separate from Him. Yayatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamya. According to the nature of our surrender, the Lord reciprocates with us. So from within the core of our heart, when our love is in that state of viraha, Krishna from within reciprocates. We feel His presence. Inconceivably, even more than if Krishna's with us. We're being embraced by God within the very core of our hearts. And therefore, this cultivation of separation from God is one of the deepest paths to the highest realizations of praying. In that separation, we see Krishna everywhere, as the queens are seeing. When Krishna left the Ras Lila, the gopis were looking for Him, and they were talking to the trees. Have you seen Krishna? They were talking to the moon, to the stars, to the deers, to the weeds, to Mother Earth, to the streams and the creeks. Wherever they looked, every flower, they were just seeing Krishna. They'd see the kunda flower and think, oh, this is just like Krishna's nose, like the kunda flower. And they'd see the malati flower, jasmine. Krishna wears these in His hair. Everything reminds them. And that's love. So Krishna left Vrindavan because He had externally so many duties to perform. There were many asuras or unwanted elements that needed to be purified in this world. But in bhav, in love, he always remained in the hearts of everyone in Vrindavan, most intimately, most sweetly. And he's actually in the heart of all living beings, if only we could see him there. But we can't see him there by open heart surgery, even with the best computerized medical facilities. The doctor will never find him there. It only can be seen by our own love when Krishna reveals himself to us. And Krishna doesn't reveal himself to us because of how much we know, or how much we have, or how many people are under our influence. It's the simple love of the heart that Krishna reveals himself in reciprocation for. Actually, if you just pluck one simple marigold petal or rose petal or any other petal you happen to be plucking now, if you can even pluck one with that sincerity, with that seriousness to please Krishna with your love, you will see Krishna. Therefore, this flower plucking is an incredible meditation. When Krishna was going to leave Vrindavan, just a few days before, his dear friend, a cowherd boy, Sridhama, he said, "Krishna, I want to give you prasad. I want to be with you. Please don't leave." And Krishna said, "But I have to leave because I have many duties. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chuduskritam dharmastam stapanartaya sambhavami juge juge. I've descended to this world to establish true religious principles, to annihilate the miscreants and protect and inspire the good. So I must go." Sridhama, he was so struck. "Krishna's going to leave Vrindavan. When will you come back?" Krishna said, "I'll come back tomorrow, or perhaps the day after, or soon after." And Sridhama, he went to a banyan tree in the forest of Bandiravan. And he said, "I am going to stand under this banyan tree until you come back. I will not move. I will not eat anything. I will not sleep. I will just wait for you. And if you don't come back, I will give up my life." And Krishna promised, "But I will come back." So how could he give up his life if that promise is there? The absolute truth never lies. So Sridhama stood under that tree. And Krishna left with Akrura and Balaram. One day passed, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, a month, a year. Krishna lived in this world about 5,000 years ago. In commemoration of this beautiful pastime, if you go to the Bamsivat in Bandiravan, you'll see a beautiful form on the altar of Sridhama under that tree, where he's still waiting. 5,000 years, he's still waiting. That's his love. There's no alternative. It's not, "Well, I'll find another friend. Krishna's not coming." Ashlisyava padiratam panashtu mama darshana marma hatam kurotu vaya data data vidatu lampato mat purananatastu se eva naparaha. This beautiful prayer, Sri Chaitanya teaching the highest sentiments of a devotee. He's saying, my dear Lord Krishna, you can do anything you like with me. If you like, you can embrace me. If you like, you can trample on me. If you like, you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. But I am your servant. My love for you is unconditional. There's no substitute. We see God everywhere, but we love God in everything. So 500 years ago, after 4,500 years of waiting, Krishna returned to Vrindavan as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He toured all around Vrindavan, going to the different 12 forests. And when Sri Chaitanya came to Bandiravan, he saw that Bamsivat, the banyan tree. And upon seeing it, he saw that deity of Sri Dhamma. And this story reveals Krishna's feelings toward the devotees. It's reciprocal. When we miss Krishna, Krishna misses us. Sri Chaitanya, in the mood of a devotee, went to Vrindavan, but when he saw Sri Dhamma, that deity under the tree, his emotions of Krishna awakened so deeply, he began to cry. And he called out very loudly. He said, Sri Dhamma, Sri Dhamma, just as I promised, I've come back. I'm here. And Sri Chaitanya ran like the wind and embrace the deity of Sri Dhamma. That is the sweetness of the remembrance that was they were cherishing in their hearts for each other. As Krishna was leaving with Akura, one of his cowherd boys, Lota Baba, he said, Krishna, I prepared prasad for you today. Krishna said, but I have to leave with Akrura. He said, no, no, first place, please take prasad. And Krishna said, I'll be back in a few days. Lota Baba said, I will not eat or drink or move. I'll stand right here until you come back. When you do the Govardhan Parikrama, circumambulation around Govardhan Hill, there's a beautiful temple of Punchuri Kalota Baba, where that cowherd boy is still there waiting. And he was kind of a thin cowherd boy when Krishna left, but now he's really heavy. If he's not eating or drinking, how does he gain weight? He's simply being nourished by that remembrance of Krishna in separation. So deep. And it's a favorite place for all the Brijavasis, all the residents of Vrindavan to come there, to sing beautiful kirtans, to dance, and to celebrate this unmotivated, uninterrupted love. In separation from Krishna, even time, we see Krishna in each moment. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis, they criticize Lord Brahma. You have made these human bodies. And when we're with Krishna, sitting with him, sometimes our eyes blink. And for that moment that the eyes blink, we cannot see Krishna. And it's unbearable. That moment seems like a yuga. It seems thousands of years. Why have you created the eyes with these eyelids? You don't. When you created, you didn't understand what it means to love Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya, in one of his beautiful prayers, Yugayatam Nameshena Chakshusha Praprashayatam Sunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahe Name. In Nimesh, the scriptures tell the Sanskrit word Nimesh is a calculation of time. The amount of time that when you involuntarily, not even knowing you're doing, blink your eyes. The amount of time that your lower eyelid and upper eyelid touch is called a nimesh. Now I see all of you blinking so many times. And you're not even aware that you're blinking. That's how insignificant your blinks are. And you're probably seeing me blinking too. And I don't even know I'm blinking. Even when I'm thinking about trying to understand when I blink, still, it's so fast you don't even know it. It's quite amazing. But in separation from you, Govinda, that nimesh, that amount of time, is like a yuga. It's like thousands and thousands of years. And the whole world, Lord Chaitanya said, it's like a dreary void without seeing you, Krishna. Now, to see the whole world as a dreary void without seeing Krishna means you're seeing Krishna in everything, everywhere. It's not a negative thing. To see the world as a dreary void without Krishna means you're in ecstasy with, due to your love, seeing Krishna in everything, in everyone, everywhere, within your own heart. And that is expressed through your senses, through your mind, through everything. When Krishna was living in Dwarka, he spoke to Narada Muni and Uddhava, his dear friend. They asked, why don't you go back to Vrindavan? And Krishna said that their love for me in separation and my love for them in separation, in our hearts, we are so deeply together, and that's the highest reality. It's ever increasing. If I go back, then that love will come out of their hearts toward where I am. We're experiencing the highest happiness in our hearts in separation. I am living in their hearts, and they are living in mine. And on the spiritual realm, that's not just poetry, it's reality. If I could make them happier by going there, I would. But the happiness they're feeling now in Viraha, in remembering me, is ever increasing, and it cannot get better. So the relationship that we have with God and we have with each other on the spiritual platform is something that is the greatest subject to explore and to experience. In this world, death is inevitable. And when we love someone and they're taken away by death, we know how much we think of them. So many times we have to go to funerals, our relative, our friends, our lovers, they inevitably have to, the soul passes from this body. And the grief of that separation is sometimes so intense, we can't think of anything else. When you're with somebody, you're thinking of them and you're having a nice time and you're saying, this is very nice, very nice. But then when they die, how you think of them? So much intensified. You're not thinking just of their body. The body was, you're thinking about the soul that animated that body. The living force, the person, is not the body. If the person was the body, then why would you cry? The body's still there. We cry because they die. But what is death? Death is when the soul leaves the body. We're crying, actually, for their soul, even if we don't know it. And then we start thinking of all the things I should have done and would have done, and only if I could just have one more chance to say something to them. How intense that feeling is. But on the spiritual platform, in remembrance of Bhagavan, of Sri Govinda, we actually understand how we're always eternally connected. And when we're still on this bodily concept of life, the pain of death is simply pain. It's the most excruciating pain there is in this world. But on the spiritual platform, we understand that the object of my love, my friend, my family member, my lover, is not dead. They've passed on to another place. And I'm beyond death. And the intensity of the feelings that we have for each other through the medium of our devotion to Krishna, to God, we can never be separated. Sometimes when people get married, you say, till death do you part. But transcendentally, when our love for Krishna is awakening, we don't part at death. Physically we may, but then our love for our beloved goes deep inside, because that deeper and deeper in our heart, and therefore we are united. In our union with Krishna, we're united with each other. That is some of the reflections on this verse today from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Kalikale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. That in this age of Kali, just as the Supreme has incarnated in various forms at various times for various religions, in this age of Kali, the Supreme especially descends in the avatar of Nam, or the divine name. Kirtan is not just a type of music. Kirtan is when we're celebrating that God has appeared in this transcendental sound vibration. These mantras, God Himself is there to reciprocate our love and shower His infinite love, Sri Radha's infinite love, through this chanting. By remembering the name, meditating upon the name, praying to the name, singing the name, dancing with the name, according to our absorption, according to the seriousness of our attentiveness and our purpose in our life, we can experience Krishna fully in the name of Krishna. Nam nam akari bahuta nija sarva shaktis. Sri Chaitanya has said that you have descended in your name, and you have so many names: Govinda, Ram, Allah, Jehovah, Krishna, Ram. So many names, and in each of every names you are personally present with your love, your sweetness, and all your powers. Rupa Goswami has sprayed, I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When I chant the name of Krishna, it tastes so sweet, I desire tens and millions of tongues. And when the name enters my ears, I desire limitless billions and trillions of ears to taste that limitless nectar. And when that name enters my heart, it conquers me. I'm yours, Sharanagati. Why don't we feel that? Sometimes we're chanting and we're falling asleep or we're thinking of some other problem. Actually, within the same name that we are chanting, all the presence of God's infinite love and beauty is there. But as the incarnation of the Lord reciprocates according to our sincerity, according to our humility, according to our will to serve. The beautiful gift of kirtan gives us all the chance to be united. It's like all of these flower petals. If you put your heart in the plucking of these petals, then tonight when we're all chanting together and all the petals are showered upon Krishna, then understand that it's your heart that's, it's the love of your heart that's showering upon Krishna. The love of our hearts together showering upon Krishna. And then, at the end, when all the flowers shower upon us, then Krishna's love and all of our love for each other and all of our love for God showers upon each and every one of us. That is the happiness of this festival. Thank you very much.